It may seem strange to title a message Born to Prepare a Pre-Apocalyptic Generation, but many years ago there was a man by the name of Dr. E.L. Terry. Now, when I was in my teen years, there were several men that were close friends of mine: Marcus Lamb, Jensen Franklin, Randy White, George Stevens, David St. John, and all of us at that time were evangelists. There, we all knew Dr. E.L. Terry. Dr. E.L. Terry was a very plain-spoken, rough and rugged preacher. When I say preacher, he wasn't just a teacher. He preached. And I remember sitting at a table with him with a bunch of ministers, and he said, and I'm going to kind of imitate him the way he talked. He'd say, listen, boys, I thought I'd live long enough to be on the edge of the coming of the Antichrist and have to battle that demon. But he said, I won't live long enough. He said, you all are going to have to see the spirit of Antichrist and deal with it. And I remember, you know, we were very young and we were kind of looking at each other when he said that. But the spirit of Antichrist, not the Antichrist, the man, but the spirit of Antichrist is a spirit that attacks the deity and the divinity of Jesus. If you will read what John wrote in his 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, etc. So we're fighting a spirit that attacks who Jesus is. Now, I believe there's you and I are born for such a time as this. Esther 4:14 is a verse that I love, and here's what it says. When Esther was going to have to approach the king, she was very afraid, and she was told this: for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews, or for the Jews, from another place. But you and your family's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, were you born in this time frame? And let me ask you this. Do you sometimes wish you were born in a different time or a different season? Where would you go? Well, I'd like to be born in the time of Adam. Really? Well, you'd have to see the earth cursed. You'd be working by the sweat of your brow, plowing with the plow. You'd have to deal with Cain and Abel's murder. That wasn't the greatest time, to be honest with you, the fall of man. Well, I'd like to live in the time of Noah. Really? You'd like to live with the giants, violence filling the earth, scoffers, men, only one man out of the whole population that was righteous? I don't think so. What about the time of Abraham? Well, do you see the number of famines that were in the time of Abraham, the war with Sodom and Gomorrah and the five kings, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, if you look at biblical times, they're great when we read them in the scripture. Look at this man of faith and this woman of God. But they all went through tough times. What about the time of the early revivals, you know, back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s? You know, people talk about the great miracles and the healings. Well, there was no air conditioning in the summer. There was no heat in the winter. You had potbelly stoves and you had to chop down wood. You had to sit on wooden benches. There were no padded benches. You had to show up with a horse and a wagon, sometimes in a tent. And a lot of times there was no back then there were no restaurants to go to after service was over. Now, I remember years ago studying what was called the healing revival that lasted from about 1948 to 1955. And I see pictures of these tents with 10 to 20,000 people, miracles taking place, people sitting for hours, services lasting to the night. And when I first got called to preach, my grandfather said something to me. He said, Perry, if you'd have lived back in my day with the preaching and the way God has anointed you, why, people would be coming out all over the place to hear you preach. People just don't go to church anymore. Well, you know, it kind of depressed me. And so I began to think about, well, maybe I was born at the wrong time. I should have been born in the healing revival. Now, before I tell you something the Lord showed me about this, let me read to you a pamphlet from R.L. Rexroad, who was my grandmother, who raised my grandmother, Lucy Bava, and he was a minister, and he preached during the Depression. Here's a quote. We have had to suffer much in one revival. Our provisions were cut off from us. This was in the wintertime, and on account of my car being broke, we could not get away. One day, we had a small dish of gravy made from milk of cows that had eaten onions and was divided between the six of us. The next day, we had nothing to eat at all, yet the presence of the Lord was with us. He wrote about another difficult time when he said the following, and I want to read this to you. It'll come on the screen, of course. More than one time, I have said to my wife, we'd better give up preaching for a while, when her feet would be on the ground and our clothes in such shape as not to fit to appear in public. With tears in her eyes, she would say, Bob, let's try it a little longer. I remember one time distinctly while her toes were sticking out of her shoes, and I had half soled up shoes with inner tubes. He cut the rubber out of the inner tubes to actually put in the soles of his shoe. He concluded by writing the following words. As at this writing, November 15th, 1934, I'm 273 miles from home. I have just received a letter from my wife telling me that she and the babies are in need. I am doing all that I can. Now, I read this pamphlet many years ago when I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I was born at the wrong time. I should have been born during the healing revival. I should have been born when people really wanted to go to church. You used to say revival's coming and every church member showed up. Now you can't even get people to show up on a Sunday night anymore. And I was complaining to the Lord about that. And then I went to Paul and I read the life of Paul. He was a Pharisee. He was trained under the Rabbi Gamaliel, and who was the head rabbi in Jerusalem, and he would have been the head rabbi in Jerusalem had he not converted to Christianity, according to Jewish sources that I have studied. He persecuted Christians. He consented to Stephen's death. He had Christians arrested. He caused some to blaspheme. He's on his way to Damascus with papers to arrest Christians. He sees this great light. He's converted to the Lord. He becomes an apostle. In fact, they called him the 13th apostle. In 1 Corinthians 15, 5-7, Paul said Jesus was seen of Peter, he was seen of the 12, he was seen of 500, he was seen of James, and last he was seen of me. Now here's what Paul said about himself. I want you to listen to this. And last of all, Christ was seen of me also as one born out of due time. I am the least of the apostles. I'm not even fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, 1 Corinthians 15, 8-9. Now being born out of due time is a phrase which means to have a miscarriage. So he was saying that really he should have been born earlier and become one of the original apostles if Christ was going to call him. But yet Christ didn't do that. So he felt like he was not worthy. He felt like he was born out of due time. But in reality, he was born at the right time. How do we know that? Watch carefully. The first church was all Jewish, Acts 2, 3, and 4. And 5. And then Cornelius is grafted in. He's a Gentile in Acts 10. And the Gentiles come into the new covenant. Now, when was Paul converted? He's converted in over there around Acts 9. So Paul goes into Arabia, spends time with the Lord in Arabia on Mount Sinai, and then comes back out and has the revelation of Jesus Christ, seven revelations the Lord gave him on Mount Sinai, according to the book of Galatians. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. God waited to bring him into covenant because he was a persecutor of Christians. Everybody knew him. He was converted to the Lord. That became his testimony, and people said, my goodness, something's happened to this guy. He was killing him and arresting him and putting him in jails, and now he's one of them. What has happened? So it became a great testimony. So Paul said he felt like he was born out of due time, but in reality he wasn't. Now let me go back to my situation, because we're talking about being born to teach an apocalyptic generation. At age 16 and 8-18, I studied this great healing revival. And that statement my granddad made kind of shook me up, and I thought, well, I'm born the wrong time. Then in 1985, I believe it was, I went to Israel for the first time. I put out a magazine called Voice of Evangelism that at that time was a 4-page magazine, 8.5 by 11, later became an 8-page magazine, and I did every month what was called a prophecy update. At the time, we may have had 4,000 to 5,000 people receiving the Voice of Evangelism magazine. Many, many years passed in the 1990s, and I said to myself, what in the world am I even doing this for? This is a waste of time. There's only a few thousand people that even read this. I'm spending days researching on a prophecy article. Now, listen carefully. Then, in the late 1980s, I was interviewed on television at the CTN Christian Television Network in Tampa, Florida, and then on Channel 55 with my dear friend Claude Bowers in Orlando, Florida. And the information that I was giving was based on the prophecy that I had studied for years. And listen, here's what I didn't know. Everybody follow me, because this is what I did not know. God knew this, but I did not. Why did God call me to preach in this generation? I did not know that there would be a breakup of the Soviet Union. Neither did I know there would be the fall of communism in the Soviet Union and also in Eastern Europe. I did not know the Jews would begin to return from the nations of the world, including out of Russia. I did not know that there would be an Oslo peace plan. I did not know that there would be a war in the Gulf. I did not know there would be a 9/11 attack that would send us into a world war on terror. I did not know there would be an Arab Spring. I did not know COVID was coming. And so here's what I'm trying to say to you. God knew the future, and that I was going to be one of many, and I definitely not the only one, thank the Lord for that, one of many voices, one of many people whose mind he would use and spirit he would use to open up the realm of end time Bible prophecy, show us visions of things that would happen several years after the vision took place, show us who the president was going to be before the president ever was elected the president of the United States, show us the patterns of presidents before they were ever came to power. And if you followed my ministry from about 1989, you'd have to be older to do that, up to the present, you know, everything I'm telling you is true, showed me the attack on the World Trade Center in a vision. And I think it was 1996, I believe it was, or right around that time frame. All these things, if you followed our ministry, you know, these are things that God did. Now, my point is, I thought for a while, boy, it would have been better to have been born in a previous time because more people could be reached. I was wrong. That God had the men he wanted for that particular time, men and women both actually, to start the full gospel business, men, the women's glow, to be a part of the charismatic renewal, to be a part of the outpouring among the Baptist churches, the Catholic outpouring that happened during the charismatic renewal, the Presbyterian outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Episcopalian outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So these men, there were people that wrote books during that time frame. My time frame, man, I feel the Holy Spirit telling me this. But my time frame was now. It started in the 80s and 90s, but really has come to this point right now. When my dad was living, my dad had a vision when he was first called to preach as a teenager. And I won't go into the detail of the entire vision, but in this vision, my dad actually saw heaven about three times in his lifetime. And two of those were when he was much, much younger. They fasted all the time. They prayed up in the mountains all the time. So it was nothing odd for them to have an experience with the Lord. And in this vision, Dad was in a heavenly library, and he said, Perry, there were books, they were that wide, they were tall, it took two hands to push them out. And he said, one of them was called the Mighty Acts and Words of Jesus. And he said, I don't know how this is possible, but every miracle Christ did on earth, everything he spoke, there was what looked like a picture of it. And he said, then it would tell you what he was teaching. And it was book after book, volume one, volume. And he said, I was amazed. And in one occasion, there was a lot of kids there, and Jesus laid hands on the apostles and sent the disciples and sent them among this massive crowd to lay hands on the people because he couldn't do it on his own. And the Bible does say if all the things that Jesus did were written in a book, even the world couldn't contain the books. And so you have these massive volumes in this heavenly library, okay? So he saw one that said the prophecies of Jesus, part one and part two. He went to pull that book out, and the Lord said, that is not for you, that is for later. And he thought, what does that mean? It's not for me. So Dad never was into, now he loved to hear it, but he was never into teaching Bible prophecy. the theme of his ministry, and he actually called the theme of his ministry, the mighty acts and words of Jesus. Now, before Dad passed away, he reminded me, he said, Perry, let me tell you something. When I had the vision of those heavenly books and the mighty acts and words of Jesus, I was drawn to the miracles and the healings and the deliverance of Jesus and his power to do that today. He said, but those books on prophecy, he said, those were reserved, son, for you. Whatever Jesus had written, whatever was recorded, God was going to give that not to me, but he was going to give it to you. And that's why you had an interest in prophecy the first time you went to Israel. And it's not the only thing we preach, by the way, but you have a focus on that. And God gave you a gift of that because you were supposed to be alive in these end times to be able to minister and to preach what God has for you to tell this generation. So here's what I've got to say to you about, were you born at this time? Now, if you're in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, and in your 70s, you're still in good health and going, there is a reason God let you be born today. Because someone has got to teach this younger generation. First of all, we've got to get them interested in understanding the times, like the sons of Issachar that understood the times and knew what Israel should do. We have to get them interested in the things that's going to happen. Here's why. It's going to impact them. All this cashless society, all this idea of AI, AI's taking some of their jobs, it's going to affect them. My son, I always thought my son was never interested in prophecy, and he started watching experts warn us about what was coming, and it aligned with the Bible. He's got a great Bible knowledge. I didn't think he had any. He was listening the whole time he was growing up. And my son came to me with revelation that God gave him in the middle of the night about the book of Revelation and things, and it stunned me. It was 100% accurate, but I had never seen before. And that's why we wrote this book, Children of the Apocalypse, together, because I wanted him to get his foot in the door to help you understand. He is a young man that is hearing from God. So he's going to reach a generation, and I have reached my generation, but there's a generation that has to be reached right now. Now, listen, every generation has had its battle. Persecution unto death, the Great Depression, battles with alcohol, an addictive generation. Now there's a generation that just feels faint and fainting and wanting to give up. But every generation not only had their battles, but every generation in the Bible had to get back up once they were knocked down. Samson had to get back up. David had to get back up. Noah had to get back up. Simon Peter had to repent. He had to go back into the ministry when he thought it was all over, right? But it is God that positions you at the right place at the right time. You know, you think about all the people in the Bible. You think about, for example, Esther. Esther was an orphan Jew living in Persia, and she won a beauty contest. Now, what if Esther had shut up and said, I'm not going to get involved? Jews would have perished. Joseph was sold as a slave, falsely accused of adultery, ended up in jail. But what if he would have failed? Israel would have never come to Egypt and they would have perished. Joseph said in the book of Genesis, you meant this for evil. God meant it for good to keep all of you alive. Joseph going to Egypt kept the people alive. Daniel, as a young man, 17 years of age, goes into captivity with several other companions and is raised at the king's table. But what was Daniel's purpose? And it was to understand end time visions and dreams that came to King Nebuchadnezzar and also the ones that came to him. Now, your purpose, now listen to me carefully, your purpose may be to affect one person that's going to change your family, that's going to change your church, or that may end up changing the nation. And so what I want you to understand, I'm going to say this the way it was said to Esther. The Bible said, you were born for such a time as this. You know, one of the greatest stories in the Bible has to do with when Daniel was in Babylon and the Medes and Persians took over. And what a lot of people may not be aware of is in the book of Isaiah 48 and 28, I'm going to give these to you, and also Josephus talks about this, that it was prophesied that a king named Cyrus was going to come and It was about 150 years later before this man named Cyrus came. And the Bible says this, "Thus saith the Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. And then thus saith the Lord to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two levied gates, and the gate shall not be shut." So when the Babylonians were overthrown by the Medes and the Persians, Cyrus was the king. Now, this is what's fascinating. Josephus, the Jewish historian, says this, that Daniel actually showed Cyrus where he was mentioned in the biblical prophecies of the Hebrew prophets, and where it was predicted that he would come and tell the Jews that they could rebuild Jerusalem. And because of the prophecy and because of the prophecy that was written way before Cyrus came, and Daniel knowing it, Cyrus literally gave the Jews permission to return out of Babylon. He gave them the decree to rebuild their temple. And let me tell you what else he did. He returned all of the treasures back. So this is the thing. He was born in a prophetic time. Now, you were born in this season to run the race. And if you're mature in years, you were born to take everything you know, keep feeding yourself, and to keep giving the books, the audio books, all the different things you have to your family members and friends to teach them. People are being taught all over the world right now. You have to lay aside the weight that besets you. You have to understand that God has allowed you to run the race now, and you've got to understand, and I love this part, God saves the best runners for last in the last leg of the race. You and I are born for such a time as this, and I want to encourage you, know prophecy, start teaching it and learn it. It is not depressing, it is exciting, and there are hundreds of things you can learn that you may not know there, and that's why I'm offering a brand new book. You get it from the ministry, it's autographed by my son and I only through the ministry, so watch this right now.
Are you raising children in our increasingly dangerous, deceptive, and apocalyptic world? How do you protect them from spiritual darkness and the schemes of the enemy? How do you protect yourself, your family, and your church, and stand firm as the storms intensify?
Hello, this is Perry Stone, and I'm excited to announce that my son Jonathan and I have completed our first co-authored prophetic book, Children of the Apocalypse. This powerful 24-chapter, 277-page volume is overflowing with transformational prophetic insight and includes urgent practical protocols for you, your city, your church, and your children. 12 of the 24-chapter topics include Cribs in the Crossfire, Pornography, the Electronic Seduction, Infants, Children, and Pregnant Women at the Time of the Rapture, Secrets to Protective Prayers, Beware of Becoming a Scammer's Victim, Preparing for a Sudden Societal Breakdown, Forming an Apocalyptic Family Plan, Protocols and Wisdom to Outwit an Attacker, Protecting Your Church, Your Ministry, and Your Congregation, Dangerous Places to Be Living When the Birth Pains Begin, When Is It Time to Flee to the Mountains, The Curve That Rules the Beast, The Babel Effect, and so much more. I want you to order now and receive a limited first edition copy personally signed by myself, Perry Stone, and my son, Jonathan. As a special bonus, you will receive the new two-hour series available on CD or digital download, in which I will present compelling evidence that we are now entering the major birth pain cycle of 2026 and beyond, along with another powerful message unleashing the new pre-tribulation signs. This signed edition of Children of the Apocalypse is available exclusively through Perry Stone Ministries. I want you to order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, and request offer CA-153 for your donation of $30 or more. Or you can mail in your request for the offer number CA-153 to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Your copy is waiting, so please contact us today. I will promise
promise you, you will glean powerful new information and prophetic content. And I love the protocols because we're going to teach you how to be an overcomer and how to deal with the serious challenges that are lying ahead as we are now entering the final cycle of the major birth pains before the return of the Lord. I am looking forward to hearing from you. And remember, your giving helps keep Manifest on the air. Well, you know, every offer on Manifest has a time limitation to it, meaning we do it for so long and then we move towards something else. And I want you to take the opportunity right now to either go to the phone, 1-888-21-BREAD, go to perrystone.org, but I want you to get this book, Children of the Apocalypse. This is a first edition copy. Jonathan and I have signed it for you. So when you order the Manifest offer, you will get a signed copy of this particular book. And the content, I'm very excited, not only that my son has joined me with insight that the Lord gave him by revelation, but to share with you what the Lord gave us for this particular teaching. We are living in apocalyptic times. We're living in the last days. We all know that. But what do we do to survive and be successful in the times that we are now in? What can we do? Are we helpless? Are we just going to be subject to everything they're putting on us? Are we just going to have to put up with what takes place? And the answer is no. And I want you to see what I have to tell you in the book and also get the audio CDs. And remember, if you want to, you can get the book and also order the download of the CDs as well. And two CDs, Major Birth Pain Cycles that we're now in. I want to make you aware of this as well, that we have some great things that's going to be happening in the very near future. Not only do we have a new Mentoring Institute for Ministry coming up in July. As a matter of fact, on Thursday at 3 o'clock, all day Friday, Saturday till 3 in the afternoon in the month of July, toward the end of July, the Perry Stone Mentoring Institute will be in progress at ISO, the International School of the Word. And we did this for years, and then when COVID came, we backed away, and now it's time to do this again. I want to take those of you who are now in ministry, those of you that pastor, evangelize, you have a children's ministry, you have a singing ministry, or an individual that says, I have a call, but I don't know what it is, and I want to pour into you many, many, many hours of ministry information that it has taken me 50 years to learn at my Mentoring Institute in the month of July. So that information is going to be coming up soon, and it requires registration. It's a $95 fee, which is nothing compared to what some people have to pay to have something like this presented to them. And it has a manual that's included in some other materials, so keep that in mind. Don't forget Pam's cruise in September, the birthday cruise, and the main event, 50th anniversary Legacy Homecoming in the month of October. All these things are going to be taking place. We're going to be coming to Alaska. The information is on the screen. Please join us at that time. If you live up in that area, make plans to just travel across the state there and get to us in Saldanha. We're going to also be coming to Knoxville, Tennessee at Redemption Church with Ed King. Join me there as well. Go to perrystone.org for more information. God bless you.